Chapter 4, CLO2 as a medicine, where to start. Before starting this chapter, I need to explain again that chlorine dioxide is not an FDA-approved medicine. As I mentioned earlier, the FDA, the mainstream media, and several of the medical ministries of health around the world have given warnings about how terrible it is, that we should stay away from it. My guess is that the pharmaceutical industry also loathes it. They don't like it. But they tend to share their feelings quietly through the FDA and the media. I have discovered that if you Google or YouTube search MMS or chlorine dioxide, you will get a whole slew of terrible things about it. However, if you use other internet browsers like DuckDuckGo or EntireWeb.com, you will find a much more positive and truthful set of information about it. After searching a little bit more, I found that the owners of Google and YouTube, in part, are the same investment banking groups that also own much of the pharmaceutical industries. With all of this, I am not trying to uncover dirt on a situation. Yes, there are several books and websites that have outlined this conspiracy, but you won't find many of them on YouTube, though. I am just trying to understand why things are the way that they are with chlorine dioxide as a medicine. The investors simply don't want one of their multi-billion-dollar investments to openly share information that will cannibalize the other multi-billion-dollar investment. And one of them is the pharmaceutical industry, and the other one is the media. It makes good sense, at least with business. However, we are talking about lives and quality of lives that are being sacrificed for profits here. So, if you are really not the kind of person who wants to learn more about what is called alternative medicine, or you are generally a healthy person who has no chronic diseases or crisis at hand, or you feel like the current medical system is effectively winning the battle against cancers, food allergies, gastrointestinal problems, pandemics, and the like, then you may not care to go much further into this book. However, I'd like to share one more half page with you below before you move on with your healthy quality of life. See below. Here's a quick and short list of some things that I and other close family and friends experienced when starting chlorine dioxide. Number one, the MMS and CDS version tastes terrible. It's bitter and sometimes sour, but I can live with it. Number two, brain fog goes away within a day. I can think clearer now. It's just gone. Number three, energy levels go up. I feel like exercising more, and I don't get as winded when I do. Number four, the first day I took it, I started sleeping better at night. No insomnia. I was a family member, and I noticed it myself. Number five, aches and pains in the body stop hurting within a few days. Number six, when I work out, my muscles, they recover faster with little or no pain sometimes. Number seven, my chronic stomach pains started going away, and that was from a family member. Number eight, chest heaviness and anxiety went away. Number nine, inflammation goes down and infections start clearing up quickly. Number 10, didn't I used to have hemorrhoids? What just happened here? Number 11, I wondered, what the heck is this stuff? And what does it do to these things to my body? Now, to be fair, there are others in my immediate family who think that I am just being weird with this stinky chlorine thing. But that group seems to be going to the medical doctor a lot more than I have these past months. And of course, this is my book and my opinion. The three ways to take CLO2 as a medicine. For the next several chapters, I'm going to introduce you to the three most common formulas that chlorine dioxide is produced to be used as a medicine, Each method can be measured, mixed, and taken in the home with a few simple tools, like a scale, some specific containers, and the raw ingredients. These items can be purchased online or at stores in most local areas. With all three methods, the main ingredient is sodium chlorite, NaClO2 is the chemical title for it, as well as some kind of weak acid like hydrochloric acid or citric acid. The three more common formulas of chlorine dioxide, ClO2, are known by the following names. One is unactivated MMS, and that is sodium chloride plus water. The two is activated MMS, which is sodium chloride plus hydrochloric acid. And then after waiting 20, 30 seconds, you add water. It could be a different kind of acid too, citric acid. And number three is CDS, also known as chlorine dioxide solution. And that is ClO2 gas that is infused into water or absorbed by the water. Although there are several ways that people produce ClO2 as a medicine, I made a diagram of three of the most common ones below. And again, I draw a picture of the unactivated MMS is the first way. You just add it straight into water in small doses. The second is activated MMS, and that's where you mix it in a cup in like drops. It's one, two, or three drops most of the time. And then you wait a little bit, and then you add water to it and then drink that. And then the third way is a CDS. I've got a picture of a container where you pre-make the mix and then you store it in a fridge or somewhere airtight to use over a period of time, weeks or even months. The above graphics show the three most common ways that are utilized to make and take ClO2 for medicinal purposes. Each one has its benefits and constraints, but they all allow for the molecular gas to be produced and safely ingested in the body to remove toxins that are knocking the body out of its healthy balance. This book will spend several chapters describing details of these methods, their suggested dosages to drink, and what illnesses you can treat them with. Keep in mind that each of these methods are simply different ways of getting the beneficial gas of ClO2 inside of the body so that the improvements of health can take place. Formula 1, sodium chloride plus water. And again, I'm just going to go through these formulas. I'm introducing the three different ways that it can be done just on the surface. And then I have the following chapters that go into more of a deep dive into what they are. So Formula 1, sodium chloride plus water. Also known as unactivated MMS plus water. The first method is the one Jim Humble discovered in the 1990s. This is simply mixing drops of liquid sodium chloride, that's NaClO2, with water and drinking it. This method is simple, easy, and effective when needed. However, there are some important warnings and considerations with using this method that should be considered. These are given in a future chapter of this book. It's actually the next chapter, with the title Unactivated MMS on it. Formula 2, which is activated MMS, and that's where you add sodium chloride with a mild acid. You let it sit for a little bit, and then you add water. The second method involves mixing or activating sodium chloride, NaClO2, with a small amount of hydrochloric acid or citric acid. This tiny amount of mixed fluid is diluted in water and the mix is drunk. However, activated MMS amounts are typically measured in the number of drops of NaClO2 that are added. This method has been the mainstay of taking ClO2 as a medicine for over two decades. The flavor of this method is a little strong to the taste. It's bitter and sour, but it is very effective against disease and other toxins that cause problems in the body. Everyone who wants to learn about using ClO2 as a medicine should learn how this is done because it is also simple to do and easy to carry the tiny containers around when traveling. Formula 3, chlorine dioxide solution, also known as CDS. The third method is made by mixing the sodium chloride with a mild acid, the same way as the method formula 2 I mentioned earlier, and allowing for the chlorine dioxide molecules to gas out of the mixture and into some nearby distilled water. The distilled water soaks up the ClO2 gas in a similar way that a sponge soaks up liquid. Even though the water and the gas are in the same liquid of CDS, they are separate molecules. Your body knows how to separate the two parts when you drink it in safe diluted methods. This method takes a bit of practice to make, but it has a lighter taste. It's a little bitter, but it's not sour when taken orally. CDS is measured in millimeters and can be taken in higher potencies than MMS because it is easier on the stomach and can be used for additional medicinal treatments like injections and intravenous use. I don't get into too much about that, but that can be used that way. CDS is the more modern method for making and taking ClO2, and it can be easily made in the home. However, I call CDS the hospital grade of ClO2 because it has been used in hospitals in South America and other parts of the world successfully to treat COVID-19. Ironically, these third world hospitals have a better survival rate of patients treated with chlorine dioxide than our United States hospitals and pharmaceutical methods. And then below I have links from Mexico, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Peru about how they've been able to conquer COVID-19 with chlorine dioxide or ClO2. So this next part, I list three ways to make medicinal chlorine dioxide. It's kind of a review. It's a table. And I show the three methods, unactivated MMS, or MMS that's activated, or CDS. And I just kind of help give some basics on it. The unactivated MMS has one protocol, that's protocol 1. The activated MMS with the acid has protocols 1000, 1000 plus, 2000 or 3000. And then CDS has the protocols A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through Z. But again, just remember, you're just trying to get different levels of the chlorine dioxide into your body so that it can do the good that it does. Note, MMS is a nickname that people use for sodium chloride and activated sodium chloride. So sometimes people use those names interchangeably, but it gets a little confusing sometimes with the nicknames. Find your best formulation method and try it out. Although there are several variations of dosages and schedules to take ClO2, a serious investigator should look at a minimum of 7 to 9 weeks or more of using the supplement in order to document the results of detoxification and healing. In other words, try it out for 7 to 9 weeks, see how it works for you. It is also recommended that before starting, you should write down a list of your personal health issues that you may have, listing as any and all ailments that they suffer from. This list would serve as a baseline of where one was at the beginning of the experience. Here is a sample list to give you ideas of what a typical middle-aged person like me might suffer from. Many of them are classified as autoimmune diseases. These may not be deadly issues, but they are normal health hassles that we have. Here's a sample of some of the common ones. Trouble sleeping at night, migraine headaches, maybe every so often, skin rashes, eczema, constipation and hemorrhoids. I list generally autoimmune diseases, enlarged prostate, alcohol or caffeine addiction, brain fog, occasional yeast infections, insomnia, which is also trouble sleeping at night, prediabetes, allergies to foods or animals, early onset of arthritis, acid reflux, or canker sores. Now that's for older adults. Maybe you have your own set. Children also have their set. Although children and young adults may be healthier in a healthier part of their lives, there are several common items that could affect their healthy function, Some of these have become much more common in the past 30 years, and you're going to see a lot of it is autoimmune disease. So depression and anxiety disorders, insomnia, chronic ear infections, chronic strep throat, food allergies, gluten intolerance, gastroenteritis, hope I read that right, air allergies, overall a mess inside with digestion, Lyme, MS, or some other mysterious illness. And that's just kind of to give you an idea of what things younger people might struggle with. In the case of each health issue, there is a complex set of personal and physiological body systems involved. Some of it may come from a lack of restful sleep, poor decisions in their life, and unhealthy and stressful environments, or even eating foods that are toxic or otherwise unhealthy for the body. Anyone could improve how they feel by trying to get enough sleep, avoiding high-stress environments, and getting exercise and eating better. However, if you are already doing these things or trying to do them, and you still suffer from chronic issues, this is where ClO2 can help a lot. Chlorine dioxide does not necessarily attack these complex conditions with a person's health or medical needs like normal pharmaceutical drugs do. It mainly just clears the toxins that are causing the imbalance in the body's function. This allows the body to heal itself at a faster rate because this healing is accelerated when the toxic barriers are removed. It is an expert at digesting food, talking about the body, healing from infections, clearing out waste, keeping cancers and tumors from growing, etc. It, the body, also knows exactly how to produce hormones, enzymes, acids, and antibodies at just the right amounts to keep us functioning properly. All of this is done at a subconscious level, regardless of whether we are asleep, playing a video game on our phone, or in a lively conversation with a friend. This assumption is all good and well if, and this is a big if, it is not clouded and hampered by foreign toxins to the body. Once a high amount of toxins get into the body functions, these complex systems start to get out of balance and malfunction. Sometimes these imbalances cause parts of the body to work against each of the individual parts. This state of being out of balance is defined by Mark Grennan in his book, Imagine a World Without Disease. He does not call sickness disease, but he refers to it as dis-ease. He then goes on to define it by writing that dis-ease in the body is when the body is absent of the removal of ease, comfort, or problems. He then goes on to demonstrate how the medical industry outlines thousands of different types of diseases, syndromes, and conditions. He also explains that there are tens of thousands of types of treatments, medications, and surgical procedures to treat them. What is a toxin? It is defined as any substance or organism that can enter the body to the point where it hinders the proper function of cells, organs, and body systems in a way that puts them out of their natural balance. Basically, it is anything that knocks a person out of homeostatic balance. What is homeostatic balance or homeostasis? Here's a Wikipedia definition. Homeostasis, the state of steady internal physical and chemical conditions maintained by living systems. This is the condition of optimal functioning for the organism and includes many variables such as body temperature and fluid balance being kept within certain preset limits, the homeostatic range. Other variables include pH of the extracellular fluid, the concentrations of sodium, potassium, and calcium ions, as well as that of blood sugar level, and these need to be regulated despite changes in the environment, diet, or level of activity. In Grennan's book, he explains that homeostasis and dis-ease are opposites. He also explains that chlorine dioxide allows for the body to move towards homeostasis. Now, this is not to discount the importance of getting good exercise, rest, and proper diet, and avoiding high-stress environments. Those are also important regardless of our age or health, and they are great topics for many other books that are already written. Starting with chlorine dioxide. Guidance from experienced users and experts. Sometimes people start out with dosages and they jump right in and start taking 3-drop dosages. They might think that more is better or just be impatient to take this new fad medicine. So they push it by taking 5 or more drops at a time. We all know people like this, and there are several accounts from people on the website at mmstestimonials.co. This website is set up so that people can set up an account and post their own experience for the world to read about. There are hundreds of accounts at this site for all types of diseases treated with chlorine dioxide. It is good to know that taking 5 to 15 drops will not kill you or anything like that. In the early days of taking ClO2, Jim Humble was recommending as high as 15-drop doses for people to take for the same sicknesses that are outlined in Protocol 1000. That means that the dosages used to be as much as 5 times as high as what is now recommended. The dose recommendation for malaria is still 15 drops, but most others are no more than 3 drops now. People still healed from their illnesses with that many drops, the 15 drops of ClO2. However, it was much more common for a person with that level to have excessive diarrhea or even vomiting in the process. Some people would get to that point and decide that the system was not for them and then quit taking it. Ironically, they still got at least a little better from detoxing themselves to a point. In the end, after 24 years of learning from the dose amounts and watching how people responded, it has been decided that 3 drops will help you to heal just as well as 5 or 10 or 15 drops. And that's for, you know, your regular doses just while you're on a protocol. The journey to healing is more pleasant along the way with these newer amounts. With the above in mind, there are 3 main rules to follow to help you decide if you should adjust the dosages while taking chlorine dioxide. These are called the golden rules, and I will cover them in the section below. But first, let me go through what it feels like when you are killing pathogens and flushing them out of your body. It is not always a pleasant experience, but it is necessary as a necessary part of the healing process. I call this the 3 H's. That's for Herxheimer reaction, healing crisis, or homeopathic aggravation. They all mean pretty much the same thing, but those are 3 titles that I've found that describe it. The 3 H's actually mean very similar things, but they are terms used to describe what is happening in your body when you start to remove toxins from it. They are called the Herxheimer reaction, the healing crisis, and the homeopathic aggravation. Herxheimer was the guy who helped discover the experience, which also can happen when you take a heavy dose of antibiotics. You can click on these terms that I have linked with the above H's terms. To see some websites that explain more or do more research on your own online. If you are going to use chlorine dioxide and want to understand what to anticipate, what you might be experiencing, I will summarize them explaining that you may actually feel kind of sick during the first few days of taking it. This is especially common when you start taking multiple doses a day. According to the Wikipedia description, the manifestation of the 3 H's are a slight fever, chills, headaches, hyperventilation, which sometimes feels like anxiety, tachycardia, which is an increased heart rate, and flushing, which is a form of hot flashes. It is important to understand that first, this is a commonly known medical process that happens, and second, it will decrease after a few days of taking hourly doses of ClO2. You just need to get through this part even if you need to lower the dosage amounts as you go along. Here's a video that helps to explain this even more, and it's a linked video there. You may also feel a little sick every once in a while in the days after this initial period because the toxins in you are not all attacked at the same time. This probably won't be as intense later on as it was in the beginning days of the starting protocol. The reason for these occasional flare-ups of Herxheimer reactions is that some toxins and pathogens are deeper in the tissues or the biofilm, or possibly in your fat within your body, which takes some time to be reached by the ClO2 molecules. As these layers of biofilm are penetrated, more toxins might be uncovered and dissolved. This is normal and even expected as you are trying to rid these things from your body through your digestive system. This slight to moderate level of feeling sick is kind of a guide to know if you should temporarily lower your dosages until your body recovers. This is why I have come up with the saying, let your gut be your compass when taking chlorine dioxide. The gut response, let it be your compass. When taking ClO2, there are various symptoms of the Herxheimer response, but the more common one is a bit of nausea and diarrhea. So pay close attention to how you are feeling over each couple of hours after each dose. It is important to understand that there is a small and healthy level of this feeling that is common. Like you would be in, if you were in protocol 1000, you're going to feel a little bit nausea once in a while or sick, but that's a little bit of part of what you're looking for to get this flushed out. However, if your body has too high of a level of nausea or diarrhea or other flu-like symptoms, your body begins to weaken and your immunity lowers down. It's kind of like Han Solo in the movie Star Wars. He paid attention to his insides to let him know if something was bad was in the works. Of course, he usually came out fine in the end because he paid attention to his gut feelings, kept pushing forward and adjusted as needed. Which is probably why he shot the alien first in episode 4. My first Herxheimer experiences. When I did my first startup procedure and then moved to the protocol 1000, which I explain in the later chapters, using activated MMS, I really didn't notice much of a Herxheimer reaction. Outside of periodic sinus issues, I was in okay health and was mostly curious to see what would happen. It wasn't until about the second or third day, taking multiple doses, that's the protocol 1000, when I had my first loose bowel experience. Basically, it feels like you need to go to the bathroom to have a bowel movement, and then you find that it is actually a very loose bowel movement. That was about it for me. As the days went on with the protocol, I found that I felt fine in the mornings, and by the afternoons, after about the fourth or fifth dose of the 3 drops, I had a very loose bowel movement. It wasn't like that every day, but it was an on and off experience through the 21 days of the protocol. I will also note that some of these bowel movements had a smell that was not normal for a bowel movement. I bring this up because I've worked with others that have noticed that same chemical-like smell in the loose stools. Chemically speaking, one could question if this smell comes from the ClO2 that was drunk throughout the day. Maybe it had gotten past the stomach and not fully absorbed there and passed on to the small intestines and the large intestines and out of the body when you go to the bathroom. However, I'm not sure if this is possible because within an hour or half hour to an hour, all of the bonded atoms of the ClO2 mixture would have separated into trace amounts of oxygen and chlorine. From there, the oxygen enters the bloodstream and the chlorine bonds with other atoms, either to make salt, NaCl, or hypochlorous acid, possibly, which is HClO, or other trace mineral bonds. My best guess is that the chemically smell actually comes from the dead pathogens and toxins that are being flushed out. These could be parasites or fungus or bacteria or even virus parts that are destroyed and decomposing. And I would put as a side note, I remember when I've taken antibiotics before in the past, it was a similar type of bowel movement, a similar smell. And anyway, just as a side note. Additionally, it could also be from the long-standing fecal matter that has been decomposing in the colon for much longer periods of time than normal food. There are colon flushes that demonstrate this type of material being dislodged from the body. And I put a link there for a colon flush in case you're interested to see that. It is also likely that this material also is other broken down toxins exiting the body. Either way, I'm pretty sure that telling the world about my diarrhea experiences here is one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever done. It is worth it if it helps others to understand and anticipate what might happen to them. Areas of Herxheimer, bowels versus body. Another helpful aspect of understanding Herxheimer reactions is to note what happens differently in different parts of the body. In the bowels, the first area where you experience it, you may experience nausea and loose stools or diarrhea. However, in the rest of the body, you might experience sore muscles, agitation or anxiety, low fever, higher heartbeat, headaches, or overall tiredness. All of these other flu-like symptoms would come on after the discomfort in the bowels and may stay for a couple of days or slightly more. Both of these areas, bowels and the rest of the body, are being affected by the chemical reaction of pathogens being attacked and destroyed, as well as the dissolving of toxic materials that are in you. However, the bowels are generally affected more immediately, whereas the rest of the body might experience discomfort in the day or two following. It is just good to be aware of what to expect so that you can pass through it with more confidence and understanding. From my experience and that of millions of others, this difficulty is just a short phase that may need to happen in order to feel the benefits that come after. It gets much better as you cautiously continue. Extreme Herxheimer reactions. Before moving on from Herxheimer reaction, I should note that there have been some extreme cases that are worth explaining. These happen where people had large amounts of parasites or experienced food poisoning and took chlorine dioxide for recovery. Oftentimes, they had been very sick with something for months or years. They were in such a crisis that they were willing to try something very different to treat. From their first dosages, these people experienced projectile vomiting and/or extreme diarrhea shortly after. If someone had been poisoned, this CLO2-induced vomiting is an important part of getting the poison out. If someone had been poisoned, the ER, by the way, would pump his or her stomach out, and that is something that would be even more uncomfortable. In the cases with extreme parasites, the vomit and diarrhea sometimes consisted of actual worms that were in the person's body. As gross as this all sounds, the people that extruded the worms felt much better shortly after getting this material out of them. They went on to be pathogen-free after continuing their dosages. The three golden rules. Number one, no change. Number two, reduce. Or number three, increase the dosage amounts. The three golden rules are a way to understand if you should adjust your dosage amounts up or down while using CLO2. It applies to most circumstances where you are taking it. It includes rules for MMS, activated MMS, CDS, and even another molecule called hypochlorous acid, which will be described in a future chapter. These rules are so important that I made a whole tab on my spreadsheet dedicated to what they are. If you understand these rules, you will see that it is more a way of thinking instead of a set of strict rules. Here are the rules that you need to think about while drinking doses of chlorine dioxide. Rule number one, the no change rule. If your symptoms are improving, your symptoms of being sick, do not change anything. Continue with what you are doing. Rule number two is the reduce rule. If you are feeling worse with prolonged nausea or diarrhea, reduce your intake by 50%, but keep taking it. Rule number three, the increase rule. If you're not getting better or worse, and if there are no signs of improvement, go to the next increase in dosage or go to the next level up of protocol. The highest dosage, by the way, is still a 3-drop mix for the MMS, activated MMS protocols. The golden rules apply to most any time that you are taking doses, except for a couple of specific situations. One of these situations is when you have malaria and the required dosage is a 15-drop mix. This level of drops is relatively high and it may very likely make you feel sick. However, the nature of this disease is such that a strong punch is needed to knock out the parasite that would be infecting you. The other situation is when you think that you have food poisoning or an oncoming sickness. In these two cases, a 6-drop dose is recommended, followed by another 6-drop dose an hour later. You may decide to take higher doses if the poisoning seems more severe. Although it is your decision to make, you should strongly consider taking that second dose, even if you are not feeling well. With food poisoning, for instance, it is possible that puking or throwing up and having the runs is what the body needs to do to get the toxic food out of you. They are efficient and natural ways that your body uses to eject poison from itself. What weakens chlorine dioxide? Foods and supplements to avoid while taking ClO2 in the body. When taken in your mouth, chlorine dioxide will remain in your body for up to 1.5 to 2 hours before being completely gone and unmeasurable. By that time, it has turned into oxygen and chlorine, which turns to about 2 grains of salt per drop or other trace materials, and you are ClO2 free. So as you take it in a Protocol 1000, for instance, you take a dose every hour for 8 hours. During this time, you have ClO2 in your system consistently for about 9.5 to 10 hours each day. During this period, it is helpful to avoid certain things in your body that would neutralize the strength of the ClO2 molecule. The following is a list of things to avoid while your body has chlorine dioxide in it. The things that neutralize the potency of chlorine dioxide. Nuts, fruits, vegetables that are high in antioxidants. Juice with added vitamin C or what's called ascorbic acid. Alcohol, coffee, and certain teas. Any other foods that are high in antioxidants. Orange juice and other strong citrus juices. Mineral supplements, vitamin supplements, time-release supplements, coconut juice, dairy products, chocolate or the cacao plant material, hydrogen gas, and water, that's bubbled hydrogen water. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't have any of these above items while on the protocol. It just means that you shouldn't put them in you during the period of having ClO2 in your system. You can drink milk, for instance, with ClO2, but it just neutralizes the effects of the molecule, and it does you no good. There have been people who take chlorine dioxide for months with no improvement in health because they didn't realize or follow these rules. So if you need to have things from the above list in your day, take them outside of the dosages. This means either a couple of hours before starting your daily dose or wait until 2 hours after your last dose. In absolute extreme cases, you can try taking a 21-day break from these above items to obtain the most effective effect of the CLO2 21-day protocol. Food and chlorine dioxide dosages. I get lots and lots of questions about this part. As an overall guideline, it is wise to try not to take any chlorine dioxide supplements with heavy meals, or even with meals in general. Some of the veteran users of CLO2 do not take it earlier than 15 minutes before eating a meal, and to wait a while after a meal has time to digest before taking a dose. And then that allows the food to be broken down and prepared to move to the small intestines from the stomach. These veterans also suggest eating lighter, simpler meals during the 3 weeks, the 21 days, that the protocols are being taken. It seems like almost any food has some antioxidant properties. So choose your meals as best as you can and don't worry too much about it. I generally try and wait at least a half hour after eating before taking a dose, but that doesn't always work out with my schedule when I'm on an hourly dose like a Protocol C or 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000. I also have had many instances where I was eating some yummy chocolate chip cookies and milk, two of the definite antioxidants, while on a protocol, and suddenly realized, oops, I just neutralized my last dose of chlorine dioxide. My wife is such a great baker, though, so I just keep eating the cookie and that's in my hand and wait about an hour or two before starting my next dose of chlorine dioxide. Just understand that there is probably not a perfect sequence that fits everyone, and you will need to figure out what works for you with your physiology and lifestyle. And I'm not sure if milk is an antioxidant, but anyway, you get the picture here.